Now, since the Zionist invasion and attack on the Gaza Strip, there has been a very strange kind of development taking place within the Muslim world itself. One would have expected that Palestine's neighbors, that is, countries surrounding Palestine, whether it is Jordan, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and all these other regimes over there, that they would be concerned about the plight of the Palestinian people, that they would come to their rescue, that they would exert their utmost effort to alleviate the suffering of the Palestinian people. But what do we find? What is the reality? Egypt, that has a border with the Gaza Strip, has not only used concrete barriers to prevent the Palestinians from coming into Egypt to acquire desperately needed supplies for their survival, but Egyptian police and security forces shoot at Palestinians that try to enter into Egypt. The Palestinians have been forced to dig tunnels underneath the border so that they can smuggle goods in from Egypt. And each time the Egyptians discover these tunnels, they blow them up. When there were demonstrations in Egypt by the Egyptian people themselves demanding that Egypt help the Palestinian people who are suffering a brutal assault by the Zionists, as well as the two-year-old long siege in which the Palestinians have been reduced to desperate situation, the Egyptian government had the gall to say that these protesters, instead of protesting against the blockade that Egypt has imposed, these protesters should protest against the siege and the blockade that the Israelis have imposed. And the Egyptians further said that, well, we cannot end this blockade because this blockade has been imposed by the quartet. That means the four groups, the UN, the Soviet Union, the US, and the European Union, that form the quartet to try to resolve this problem of the Zionist occupation of Palestine, although they are not interested in doing that. But they have also imposed a blockade on the Gaza Strip. And the Egyptians use this excuse to say that, well, they have imposed this blockade, and so we cannot open our border. One is forced to ask, where is the Egyptian sovereignty? Where is Egyptian independence? It is their border, and others cannot dictate to them as to how their border should be operated. And in any case, the Palestinians are being besieged, they are being starved, their children are getting killed, they are being bombed, they are being humiliated. The least that the Egyptian government can do is to allow vitally needed supplies to the Palestinian people. And yet, what do we find? 10 days before the Zionists launched their invasion of Palestine or Gaza, a retired Israeli general, Amos Gilad, who is an advisor to the Israeli Prime Minister on security matters, was in Egypt and he met Omar Suleiman, the Egyptian intelligence minister. And the Egyptian intelligence minister told him that they would like to see, that is, Egypt would like to see Hamas eliminated and cut down to size, and that Egypt would not mind if the Israelis were to invade the Gaza Strip. This was reported by Al-Quds Al-Arabi, the Arabic paper that is published from London, England. Now, one can begin to see the kinds of attitude and behavior of these Arab rulers. In fact, when the Arab League called for a meeting immediately after the Israelis invaded the Gaza Strip, few Arab foreign ministers were prepared to attend an emergency meeting. So that meeting had to be postponed for several days to December 31st, and when it was held in Cairo, the Saudi foreign minister had the gall to say as to how we can help our brothers in Palestine when they are divided among themselves. This kind of ridiculous statements coming from the Saudi foreign minister, who is either a complete dunce or he's a complete criminal when he makes statements like that, because he is in fact justifying the genocide of the Palestinian people by advancing such excuses. Let us examine this so-called division among the Palestinian people, and how did it come about? The Saudis and other Arab rulers recognize this puppet Mahmoud Abbas as the true representative of the Palestinian people, when in fact we know that in the elections that occurred in January of 2006, Hamas won overwhelming support from the Palestinian people. And in fact, they won about 76% of the seats in the Palestinian parliament. So Abbas and his puppet Palestinian Authority were rejected by the Palestinian people. And so for Saudi Arabia or Egypt or any other Arab regime to talk about the Palestinian Authority and Mahmoud Abbas being the genuine representatives of the people is utter nonsense. The fact of the matter is that the Palestinian people were sick and tired of the corruption, of the debauchery, of the incompetence of the Palestinian Authority. And that is why they went for Hamas, and they wanted a clean government, a government of people who are humble, who live according to their own standards and not live in these extravagant villas and have bank balances outside Palestine. So when the Palestinian people voted for Hamas, neither the Saudi government nor Egypt nor any of the other puppet regimes in the Arab world have any right to demand or dictate to the Palestinian people as to what kind of a government they ought to have. Another factor that also is leading to divisions among these people is that the Saudi regime itself, along with the US and the Zionist state, are financing Mahmoud Abbas's so-called Palestinian Authority. They withhold any help from the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, but they keep on giving money to Mahmoud Abbas because they want to prop him up. And it is well known among the Palestinians that Mahmoud Abbas and his people are thoroughly corrupt, they are dishonest, they are thieves, they are incompetent, and they are slaves of the Zionists and the Americans. And naturally, the Palestinian people do not support them. And so for Egypt or Saudi Arabia to advance such excuses is outrageous, to say the least. It does not mean that the people in those countries are not willing to support the Palestinian people. In fact, there have been rallies and demonstrations in support of the Palestinian people in Egypt, in Saudi Arabia, in Jordan, and many other Middle Eastern countries. The only exceptions that one finds, and I think this is something that Muslims must take note of, and others must take note of, the only exception that one finds in which support has been extended or expressed for the Palestinian people is the Islamic Republic of Iran and the Hezbollah leadership in Lebanon. These are the only two major state-level actors or players that have expressed open support for the Palestinian people. Now, I think Muslims need to draw appropriate lessons from this. Iran is an Islamic state. It has undergone an Islamic revolution. This year would be the 30th anniversary of Iran's Islamic revolution. Unless and until Muslims in other parts of the world undergo similar changes and transformations in their societies to overthrow these corrupt regimes, whether in Saudi Arabia, Egypt, or other places that are actually creations of the colonialist West, that they will not be able to achieve their aspirations, and they will not be able to extend a helping hand to their suffering brothers and sisters in other parts of the world. We see a similar kind of effort being made by Hezbollah. In fact, Sheikh Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of Hezbollah, made an appeal to the Egyptian people that they should rise up and that they should defy the closure of that border with Egypt of Gaza, and that they should send whatever supplies they could. It clearly indicates that when there is a leadership that is committed to Islam, that is committed to the well-being of the people, that all people will support them. So we see the contrast in the attitude of the puppet Arab rulers and the bold and courageous stand that has been taken by leaders in Iran and leaders of Hezbollah. And I think the lessons are very obvious and very clear. Muslims really ought to consider this very seriously, because Muslims continue to face these horrendous crimes repeatedly. We have witnessed these crimes, for instance, in the early 90s in Bosnia, where 300,000 Muslims were massacred by the Serbs. and not one Muslim government was willing to come and help them when the West had imposed an embargo. The only exception to that was again the Islamic Republic of Iran. Or we saw the way that Afghanistan was attacked by the US and the resistance that is continuing over there. Again, we see the manner in which Iraq was attacked and the resistance that is continuing over there. And Palestine has been a very long festering wound in the body politic of the Muslim Ummah. So it is clear that it is the Muslim masses that resist against foreign invaders, and that the so-called armies in the Muslim world are also not capable of defending the honor and integrity of the Muslim people, and that Muslims have to take appropriate lessons from these to understand that unless and until they get rid of these corrupt regimes, that they overthrow these corrupt regimes, Iran-style, through Islamic revolutions, that they're not going to achieve much progress in the world. The Muslim world is not poor. It has enormous resources. 40% of the world's energy resources are produced by the Muslims. 20% of the world's mineral resources are produced by the Muslims. And yet, the Muslim world, by and large, is in desperately pathetic straits. The reason being that these resources are not used for the benefit of the Muslims or other oppressed people in the world, that these resources are used first and foremost to line the pockets of the corrupt rulers and to shovel billions of dollars of these resources into Western banks and to give them as handouts to the Western governments that blackmail them. And very little of that money is utilized for the benefit of the Muslim Ummah. In fact, just to give you a quick example, the US today is facing dire financial straits. In November, the outgoing US President, George Bush, made an appeal, or he in fact asked, this would be considered a demand, he demanded of the Saudis and the Kuwaitis and the United Arab Emirates and so on, he needed $300 billion from them. So he asked Saudi Arabia for a $120 billion handout. He asked United Arab Emirates for $70 billion, Qatar for $60 billion, and Kuwait for $40 billion. Now that comes to $300 billion. And these regimes are not in a position to say no to these gangsters sitting in Washington. We need to ask, how many billions of dollars have these regimes given to the desperately poor people in the Gaza Strip? People who are being bombed, people who are being besieged, people who are being starved, people who are being killed and humiliated. And they are going to give this $300 billion to the US, the same US that will turn around and hand over this money to the Zionist criminals and give them weapons and other wherewithal to kill the Palestinian people. So I think it is obvious for Muslims to understand that these regimes that are ruling over them in the Muslim world, that these regimes are the real problem that they face. And they must confront this reality, and they must come to this conclusion, this inescapable conclusion, that these regimes have to be got rid of, because unless and until Muslims get rid of these regimes, that I'm afraid their situation is not going to improve. And it is only possible to achieve their right state in the world when Muslims are led by the Islamic movement and have muttaqi leadership.